Hello, my friends. This is Brett Kiesling of the EO Podcast Network and host of the ESOP Podcast. We recently completed season 2 of the Owner to Owner Podcast with host Jesse Tyler, and we can't wait to bring you season 3 beginning in September 2023. While Jesse and team recharge their podcast batteries, we're bringing you a great 5-part series from season 1 called Women in Manufacturing, featuring conversations between Jesse and amazing colleagues at Hypertherm. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to Owner Podcast. It's great to have you with us. I'm Jesse Tyler. I work at Hypertherm, global manufacturing technology company that is almost 2,000 owners strong worldwide. I'm fascinated by ownership culture and how being an owner impacts the daily experience at work. The goal of this podcast is to have owner-to-owner discussions about a wide range of ownership experience, culture topics, and bring more insight to the individual ownership experience. In the land of ownership and ESOPs, there's a lot of we, there's a lot of us used. This is about the individual, the impact on their work experience. This is a series that focuses on women in manufacturing, bring insight from women owners through our company, Hypertherm, through our product value stream, from design, engineering, global sales, operations, machine assembly, machine operators, shipping, and leadership. The series is a little bit different. On most of the Owner to Owner podcasts, I meet the guests when we start recording. This series is different in that these are close friends I've asked to share their story. So this episode focuses on product design, quality, and manufacturing and leadership. Guests today are Madhura Mitra, Project Manager for Engineering, Catherine Thurston, Senior Quality Engineer, and Sarah Swift, Manufacturing Leader 2 from the Light Industrial Plasma Products team. So Madhura, can you share a little bit more of your own intro, what you do, what your role is?
Sure. My name is Madhura, and I've been at Hypertherm for almost close to 13 years now, and I started as an intern with this company back in 2009 at the time of Great Recession, and with a heavy industrial team that makes the big plasma machines. And before that, I didn't even know New Hampshire was a state, actually. I worked with my advisor back in Minnesota with a project on a project with Hypertherm, and that's how I came to know about Hypertherm. And I got hired as an intern and then continued on as a full-time associate here for 10 years with a heavy industrial team as a plasma process engineer, where I designed the consumables that we sell and processes. And after that, in 2019, I was looking for a change. I was interested in leadership, interacting more with people and managing technical projects. And that's how I ended up with this role of engineering project manager with the advanced development. And this team, we do a lot of forward-looking R&D, you know, like decide the direction in which our company's product and technology will go in the next years. And I'm really excited about this role because I get to do a lot of different work from designing and mechanical engineering along with all that stuff. So that's kind of my introduction.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, when we've had, we've worked together over the years supporting the STEM science, technology, engineering, math programs that we have. And I've told some of the STEM students, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Madhura. She thinks 10 years ahead. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Thank you. And I have some fond memories with you too, Jesse, with a heavy industrial team when we launched one of our products, MaxPro 200. So
yeah, we're all growing old together. That, as it happens at employee-owned companies, people tend to stick around and grow into their careers together. It's been fun to see all three of you and what you've done already in your careers and what's ahead. Catherine, can you share a little bit more of an intro for yourself?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, my name is Catherine Thurston, and my title here at Hypertherm is Senior Quality Engineer. And the senior part is not because of my age or the discounts I can get at the stores, in case you were wondering. My job responsibilities start with the quality of raw materials and with listening actively all the different customer complaints so we can drive actions inwards towards improvement with our products or the way we actually do business. I have worked in different environments, mostly corporate. I went to school for mechanical engineering, And yes, I have a family. I got pregnant when I was in college, and that was quite exciting going for engineering and having a baby. And I've been in Hapathorn for 3 years, and I absolutely love working here. I think I'm a mushroom now.
That's great. That's great. Sarah, can you share a little bit more?
Sure. So I've been with the company 17 years. I started in 05 and I actually started in finance. So I spent about 10 years in finance, and then I had the opportunity to move into operations. And I always describe it very much as finance is the scorekeeper, and operations, you actually get to play the game. And that's how I describe it. And so I've been playing the game now for about 7 years, and I've recently accepted the manufacturing leader position for our light industrial products. So those are our smaller systems that we make. So I'm responsible for about 75 people, and it's a really exciting time, as I'm sure everybody can imagine. We have a ton of fun every day trying to figure out what we can build and what supply chain issues we're experiencing and how can we work through that. So it's a really dynamic environment right now. And so we continue to work through that every day. But I am very grateful to be at Hypotherm, and I know you'll learn as we go. We very much look at these challenges that are very real to all of us, and they're just opportunities in a bow for us. So we have to figure out how to solve them. And so that's really what, really, I say, I work very closely with Catherine. I'm not so much with Madura, but that's what we do every day. It's kind of my job.
That's great. That's great. Thanks for the insights. So I'd like to see if you could share a little bit more. Looking farther back, like, I think we've all crossed paths on supporting some of the middle school and high school STEM students and helping them see manufacturing as a career. So just curious, you know, if you look back to schooling and start to include some of your perspective, you know, were you the only woman in your engineering classes, or for Sarah for finance before leaping to getting in the game with the operation? So what we can do is just, you know, as you want to speak, you can share as you wish instead of calling on names and the like. But can you share a little bit more about, you know, sort of your younger years and what that was like as a young woman before you found yourself in this manufacturing world?
Sure, I can go, Jesse. I did my bachelor's degree of mechanical engineering back in India, and it's the same story there as well, especially for mechanical engineering. We had, like, when we started off, I had two girls, including myself, in my class, and we were like 100 students. So you can look at the ratio. And then the other person, she actually dropped off in the middle. So eventually I was the only one. And, you know, initially it was definitely a little bit uncomfortable, but I made really good friends there. And eventually I stopped realizing that I was the only girl or woman in the class. So it definitely became easier. I mean, not always, but most of it was not bad. And it's kind of a similar story as you go to a manufacturer, especially a manufacturing company, right? Like, we have very few women in, especially in engineering sort of discipline. So, but I think my whole experience with education kind of continued and helped. Like, I don't even realize that I'm the only, like, currently I work in a building where it's just 12 of us, mind my team, and I'm the only woman, and I don't realize it anymore. So I mean, everybody's inclusive. I feel like actually it gives kind of a superpower, you know. People listen to you more, and just because you bring a different and unique perspective. So I feel like it actually gives a superpower if you let yourselves believe that.
That's great. That's great. Thank you. Catherine or Sarah, your thoughts?
Yeah, sure. I started engineering school in Colombia. So this accent is not actually from New Hampshire. I was not the only woman in Colombia. I think we were mostly women in the engineering school. They combined us the first few years with software engineering, and all other engineers were common classes. And I never really saw their disparity in gender. But then when I transferred to UVM, I finished high school here, I did see that disparity. And we were three, and obviously I was the only pregnant one. So you could point where I was. And it really, like Madura experience at the beginning, you kind of, oh, I am one of the three, but it took me a while to realize that I was really just one of the very few women. Everybody was very inclusive in college, and you don't really feel it anymore. At least it has been my experience from the college and now in the workplace as well.
That's great. And so, well, I have a few more questions for you, but before we really dive into your individual ownership experience, I'll ask you what your advice is for women considering manufacturing. So I just want to give a little bit of your background, have you share that, so it kind of builds up to what your advice is, so you know what's coming. Sarah, do you have thoughts on this?
So my experience, of course, is very different. My degree was maybe a little more traditional. I have a business management degree, and I have a master's with a focus in finance. So there wasn't huge disparities. There were several other women in all of my classes. The only point I guess I would make is the reason behind my master's degree was very much, I fall into the stereotype where women feel they have to hit all the boxes of a job and all the preferred pieces of the job. So the reason I have a master's degree is because I felt like I had to have it to be successful. Whereas many of my peers do not, and they've been very successful without it. So that's probably the only time that I've experienced any kind of challenges with the degree side from specifically being a woman. It's more that I have one and I guess I should be grateful, but whereas my peers don't, because maybe they didn't feel like they needed it.
Appreciate the insight and the openness. So we've been through a couple years of challenging times with COVID, with a lot of change. We've been lucky to be at a very busy company through that. Sarah mentioned, leading 75 people with the vacillating uncertainty of the global supply chain. So I mean this as a very open question. What keeps you coming back?
From my perspective, we have an amazing team. Our team is very cohesive. We work very well together and we understand each other's struggles. COVID, a lot of us have children, and with COVID started the major transformation, especially for women, was no school, remote school. Think, okay, what do I do? No daycare. There's nothing. So the transition to working from home, it was real for most of us, but mainly women, because we, in our culture, we feel, and also I think it is also nature, we feel that protection to our children and that we need to be there and really aid that transition. But the reason why at least I keep coming back, it is I feel I make a difference. I feel that my job is exciting and I have a great team and in a great work environment. So I gotta do what it takes to also be here.
Yeah. And I resonate Catherine's thoughts as well. Like we have a great team. People are, we've been challenged enough with technical challenges, and that definitely keeps me coming back because, that's what I did my degree for and that's what I love about the work. And again, the part of the team culture here, that's like everybody's very caring. They're genuinely interested in your well-being. Back in November, me and my husband, who also is an Hypertherm associate, we have two little girls and we all were home. And I think every calling, like there were like, I don't know, hundreds of people who like asked me over Teams how we were doing. And one of the VPs actually, she offered to bring groceries for me. Like, what more can I ask for? So I think that this whole culture is definitely what has held me here for all these years. Because when I started at Hypertherm, I was not married. I was in my early 20s. So I was like, this place is so boring. I have nothing to do here. And then here I am after 13 years, still in grows on you for sure.
That's great. That's great.
So Hypertherm has done great things for me. Like I said, I've been here 17 years and yeah, it's a tough place, but I've actually had the opportunity to see other facilities and do some benchmarking. And when you talk to our customers or when you talk to even manufacturing organizations, this is a great place for lots of reasons. And so recognizing that and just appreciating not only the commitment that the organization has given to me, but the flexibility and the freedom that they've given to me as my children grew. My oldest is 15, my youngest is 11. And so I was able to take different roles that gave me the flexibility that I needed throughout my career. And Catherine is so right. COVID is so hard for so many people. And I think one of the things right now that really reminds me, because I do not have a remote job. I'm required to be on site every day, which is hard. You know, school is canceled. I just told you I have two girls. They can be home alone, but you know, you don't want to leave them home alone all the time. But I often remind myself, I have it so much easier than so many of the associates that work for me. And so they inspire me every day. And I try to remember how I'm responsible for their well-being. And absolutely reinforce that. And that really just keeps me going every day.
That's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing this. So over the span of your career so far, what are you the most proud of?
I can take that. I have two really proud moments. One is, leadership is amazing. If you have the opportunity to lead people, you can change lives. And there's two individuals that I believe I changed their lives in a positive way. And it's the most rewarding aspect of my job. I had a person who was transitioned to me, given to me. I had to take this person. And their previous leader said horrible things, like dumber than a doorknob. Kind of things. And that, of course, was absolutely not true. This person was just in the wrong seat on the bus. And over time, we moved this person to the right seat on the bus, and they actually got promoted. And so that was really rewarding to take that person forward. So that's a personal thing. But then the other thing that I'm so proud of is when I was during the Great Recession, I was the team leader of the receivables team. And we had multiple customers who could not pay their bills, as you can imagine. And we had significant debt, and we had the opportunity to partner with our customers. Had we called in that, probably over 100 jobs at our customer's plant would have been lost. Like, they would have had to close their doors. And it's probably my most proudest story of Hypotherm is that we had the freedom to partner with that customer. And ultimately, we saved their business. And when the recession was over, we had this amazing customer who was fully committed to us, and they actually grew their business for the next 3 years. So it was really a very rewarding story. And that those are probably the two that I'm so proud to work at Hypotherm to be able to be part of those activities.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Those are some great stories, Sarah. Mine is a little more personal than that. But, you know, when I was in school or in college and as I started understanding engineering, I would always wonder, looking at different products and stuff, like, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, I were the one designing all these and stuff like that? That's kind of what makes me really proud, that the stuff that I have designed is solving problems for the customer. It's in customer's hand. They're using it every day. And that's the thing that makes me most proud about, you know, my job, my role here. And, you know, I get to be a part of the solution. And that's what I really love. And with my current role, it's a little bit different. I can see the gaps in technology more. That's my current role. So I get to see the gaps, and then I get the opportunity to do something about it. And that's kind of my current stuff that I'm proud about.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Catherine, what are you most proud of in the span of your career?
I have a very similar story as Sarah in regards to mentoring people. In my previous life, I was in the automotive and aerospace industry. And a lot of, based on the things that we were doing, it was metals and forming and such. And there was this girl who was working for me. She was a sorter. She just all day sort parts. And I said, okay, I do need to have this data analyzed. I will give her a little task. And she would always go above and beyond. But she had a little bit of an attitude with some of the leadership for personal experiences. And I was able to coach her of how much more she had to give. And every day I started giving her more tasks and requests for her to present during those stand-up meetings of her findings, putting her on the spot so she will feel more comfortable of the things and the thoughts that she had. And then she said, "Catherine, you have inspired me to go to school." She got her associate's degree, and then she was able to get her bachelor's degree. And now she actually took my job. In my previous, she's a quality engineer. They gave her the opportunity. She knows the business inside out. And I keep in touch with her. She has followed a lot of my steps, and I feel beyond proud because now she went from a sorter to an engineering job. So that has been a very good story for me. And from this personal perspective, I think that for my career, I love the continuous improvement projects that we have and how much money we can save and how much paper we can reduce and be creative, not always in the technical perspective, but from the processes and engagement. I think that those are things that make me very proud. It is the continuous improvement projects.
That's great. And it's fun with ownership conversations, just talking at conferences, talking with people nationally on the podcast and just in the ownership community. The throwdown question that can just be so much fun is, can you talk about employee ownership, strong employee ownership, without talking about continuous improvement mindset? Can you talk about it without discussing values, living by values? And so far, we haven't had anybody untangle them. So that's fun to hear both the values brought up by you and the continuous improvement. So what is your advice for women considering a career in manufacturing? What's your advice to them? You have lots of openings.
Do it. We need more. Do it.
Women should, if they're considering manufacturing career, there is certainly a future here for them. Women by nature, we are able to multitask. They think from different angles, the perspective, and we need more of that in the drive. I think that absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to add to that, I guess my advice would be that be confident, because I guess that's one thing that, I mean, I tell myself as well, because sometimes, and that's what happens with women, that we know some things, but we are afraid to speak just because we think that would sound dumb or something like that. I don't know. But you know, just the confidence, I guess, fostering that from the beginning is, I think it would be very important.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would only add, don't fall into those stereotypes, right? Like statistically speaking, women don't ask for raises and men do. So they tend to make more. Women, I already talked about it. Women think they need to have the preferred. I've hired so many people, not men or women, both, that don't hit every box. So don't fall into those stereotypes. They don't have to be real. Confidence. Yep.
That's great. Really appreciate it. So I want to transition a little bit to your individual ownership experiences. So if you want to weave more in from women of manufacturing and advice, please do. But I want to ask you the universal employee ownership question. What does ownership mean to you?
I can start. And I think ownership has a very special meaning to me. So I moved to the United States at the age of 21. I had never been away from my parents. So this was a big adventure for me. And I came here for my master's degree. And, you know, I was fresh out of college, had no job experience and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't mean to criticize the immigration system, but in the immigration language, you know, immigrants are called aliens. So in that context, being an owner with a company, it definitely gave me the sense of belonging. You know, India is my motherland where I was born, but United States is my, you know, land of action. There is, for the lack of better word, the faction land of work for me, right? So having that sense of belonging here was very important to me, I think. And I didn't realize it when I joined Hypertherm because I was very naive, ignorant, as you may call it. But now I realize it, that how, like, being a part owner in the company was, you know, Hypertherm was my first asset in the United States. So I think it has a very special, definitely has a very special meaning to me, coming from a different country and establishing life here.
That's great. Catherine or Sarah?
Yeah, sure. From previous environments, I came from corporate where there is this high stress and level of achievement that you must check every box and you need to have the project with the most savings and the most with less capital investment. And now working in an ownership environment where we are in common playing field, there is this continuous high drive, but in a very different way. It is, I feel that I can vocalize more, be more creative to achieve those different goals. And from the ownership too, it comes that feeling that my hard work also would benefit. I will have a benefit from these fruits at the end of the day. And I don't have that level of stress. However, I do have pressure, but not the stress that I had before, because it came from the feeling, if I don't do this project, if I don't show the best project, I don't want to be that head that might be laid off in when the downturn occurs. Now it is because, you know, the more money we save, the more profit sharing we might be able to see. So there is a really different incentive. It changes how you think and how you feel in the workplace.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I agree very much with you, Catherine. It absolutely does change how you approach work. At least for me, it does. And the other thing, I think the key thing, especially because I work in the I work with assemblers all day. The big takeaway for them is the shared rewards. So there's a lot more trust that in our management team, because we have this sense of togetherness, and so we're able to really recognize that. Even if you make a small change on the production floor, we benefit as a whole, and sharing that and moving forward together and that sense of ownership but shared rewards really allows us to move forward as one organization. So that's probably one of the biggest things I see every day.
That's great. I appreciate the insights from all three of you. So part of the goal of this podcast is for owner peers to be able to hear from each other. You don't usually hear three women with leadership roles in engineering and manufacturing being interviewed. That's what this is all about. Part of it is also to try to reach some of the business owners that may be considering selling their businesses. So if they can hear someone that works for them and you, maybe they will consider selling their company. So when we talk about ownership, it's yes, we want you to reach out to peers and maybe build new connections, but it's also to try to really support the difference that ownership has made for you to bring that to others. So one of the ways that I'd like to try to boil it down, I would say, as fellow New Englanders, you know, we're making our syrup. You got to start with your 40 gallons of sap and boil it down. So I'm going to do a version of that for you here. Is if you had to describe ownership in three words, what three words would you use?
I would use, for me, if I were to choose three, it would be customer focus. It brings that customer focus, what adds value to them. And then retention, especially in this job market, and continuous improvement. They're compound words.
We haven't had a guest yet pull it off in three words. So if you want to add color to your compound words, your list of three, you're encouraged to. I think it brings a different insight when you really, almost like you have an old-fashioned form and you have to fill in the box. It really does force that. So I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Sarah, Madura?
Sure. So I had a company partnership, and I had a associate/company, because it really is that connection.
Great. Thanks.
I think for me, like I said earlier, it's a sense of belonging. You know, you take care of things that you own, so that you would do the same thing with your company, because it's tied to your well-being as well. Then in a sense of responsibility, because it's your responsibility to take care of your assets and what you own and, you know, make it better. And then the third thing is, I guess, Catherine, you touched on that earlier, is equality, right? So no matter, you know, if you're a VP or somebody working on the shop floor, it's still, you have equal say in things, and you share the benefits and rewards. So I think those are the three.
That's great. That's great. All right. So every episode, we ask our guests to share their EO or their employee ownership, their EO aha moment. So it's not the first time that you heard about employee ownership, or even when you started to like it. It's that moment when you were like, ah, ha, this is going to be a game changer. Go ahead, Catherine.
The reason why I wanted to go first, it is because I have been in the company for much less amount of years than them. So I had my EO moment much recently. Was the meaning of profit sharing. I just could not believe that I was being shared some of those profits in a way that I never experienced before. I did have bonuses in my previous job, discretionary bonuses, but it doesn't equal to that, hey, we achieved this and it is so much greater than those bonuses or discretionary bonuses came up. And so it's, and it was amazing. And they come during Christmas time. Like, what else? So, and then in addition to that, then you get your other 401k sharings. And so it has been an amazing experience. Not bad.
That's great. Thank you.
I was going to say that, so this was in 2013. I was actually in India that December. And during that company meeting, the couch announced the 100% employee ownership of, you know, HSOC or Hypertherm. And, you know, until then, I hadn't really, like I said, like when I joined the company, I didn't really, profit sharing was definitely one thing, but I hadn't really cared so much of the stock ownership. And that was the moment I'm like, maybe I should go check one balance I have there.
That's great.
That's what I did. I'm like, huh, that's something. And you know, it's funny that like both Catherine and I, we both have that aha moment in terms of like getting, you know, financial rewards from that. But it's kind of what resonates. So it was funny that I hadn't really paid much attention to that until then. And that was the moment when I was like, okay, this is something that could, you know, that could have a long-term benefit. So I describe that because it was like, I remember it was like late in the night in India and I was trying to listen to the company meeting and.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. 100% was a big transition for everybody to get used to. Sarah, what was your EO aha moment?
Sure. So for me, I worked at a bank before I worked here and Dick Couch was actually on the board there. And so I knew Dick a little, of course. It was Mr. Couch, you know, Mrs. Couch was Barbara. And my aha moment, so I knew about Hypertherm because we actually used to have to order money specifically so that we could have enough cash on hand to support the bonuses. So I knew about that stuff way before I got here. But the real aha moment and the way I realized what it was like to work at Hypertherm, and I had a great job at the bank. It was wonderful. And Dick made a lot of changes at the bank that actually followed Hypertherm's model, meaning that I used to get a big bonus that went directly into my retirement. So, and that all happened before I got here, but that's 100% Dick drove that. But when I actually got here and learned what it was like to work here, and Dick and Barbara stopped at my desk and they are checking in on me, making sure I made the right decision. They're like, do you feel good about being here? Do you miss the bank? And I was like, oh my God, no, I love it here. But the commitment, right? And again, it's that this is what it's like to work here is the people, the president knows my name. They care about me. They want me to be successful. And that was so really early on. Again, I had some of those I knew financial person here. So I knew a lot of those financial benefits already coming in. But it really is more than that for me. It's the experience and what it's like to work here. And just the real empowerment that I had. How I had the freedom to drive changes. And a lot of that really came specifically just from the commitment from the leadership. It was very different. So yeah, it's powerful.
That's great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And for listeners that aren't familiar with the Hypertherm history, Dick Couch and Bob Dean 54 years ago started Hypertherm as an idea. It was an engineering project at our longtime business partner, Creary, nearby our campus. Dick Couch told a story at the 50th company anniversary about how for 8 years he was told, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, this isn't a business. This isn't viable. And he hung in there. And so when you think of those, you know, foundational values. So the first time took a while, but when there was a profit, he shared it. And so when you talk about employee ownership, we share ownership, we share the ESOP, which is very healthy and wonderful to talk about the financial reward. Ownership includes those often left out in personal wealth building. But Hypertherm is a great example of that. The foundational values of the people who started the company will do well as the owners step back and pursue philanthropy and other interests and time with grandkids and things like that, where if the company can go on, and it's the responsibility of all of us to keep those foundational values vibrant. So I think you've done a nice job. So I'm going to finish with the big question. This is a chance that every podcast I do this, I give all the different ESOPs I've talked to a chance to maybe do a little recruiting, maybe help fill some of the seats. We happen to have a lot of openings. So to bring us back to your experiences as women in manufacturing, why should a woman considering a career in manufacturing come work with you at Hypertherm?
I'll go. I have openings. So I would say that very much diversity is valued at Hypertherm. Your difference, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whatever your background is, if you're going to bring something and those differences are what is going to make us successful. On my team, what we love is that we have healthy conversation. It's not conflict. It is very healthy conversation. We have debates. Everybody can be themselves. And by being themselves, we make much better decisions. And everybody values that. So that's probably the biggest thing that Hypertherm can bring. And I do have some openings. So feel free to check us out online. Anyway, and I'm going to sneak in, Jesse, one more thing. I just want to tell anybody who's considering being an ESOP, I think this is actually a really important message too. The number one reason that I would encourage you to become an ESOP is because you've probably built an amazing company, probably from the ground up. And if you want that company to live beyond you, just like what Jesse said, who can do a better job than the people you've put in the position? Like, you've already put us here, you made us successful. So I would encourage anybody to move forward with this model.
Awesome. Others?
To add to what Sarah said earlier, you know, apart from the financial benefits, it's the technical challenges as well. We are a technology company. And, you know, if that's something that one is looking for, this is the place. We are venturing into all new areas of, you know, connected products, smart systems, and that sort of stuff as well. So it's definitely that aspect which attracts me, and I'm sure it attracts a lot of other people who are in technical fields as well.
That's great. Catherine?
From my side, I think this is a great place where you can actually start somewhere and go, the sky is the limit. We have a place for you with hard work. There is a lot of creativity that is fostered. There is a collaboration that you will experience in this workplace, and that's very special to Hypertherm as well. And we welcome diversity. We welcome women, men, mothers, grandmothers. It is a great place, and I know you will fit. So, and you will belong, like Madura has really emphasized it a lot. You will not feel like you're the outlier. You will not even feel that you're one of the very few women, because it is just the nature of the industry. There is a place for you.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate the time with you, your openness. I appreciate your friendships and your willingness to be on the Owner to Owner podcast. So thank you very much. And we'll look forward to hearing your stories when the episodes come out soon. So thank you very much, Madura, Catherine, and Sarah. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Just want to thank all the growing trove of listeners for the Owner to Owner podcast, bringing voices of frontline essential employee owners to the conversation. So thank you very much. We'll look forward to speaking with you again soon. Take care.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Production assistance by Victoria Huerta. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.